morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Well, did you find toys at the Home and Garden Show?
Well, I think I have. I'm considering a new flagpole being installed at the house. And I definitely have two of those yellow and black squeegee brooms.
Along with everyone else in Tri-City.
So we have in the studio with us Mr. Tom Coyne from Sterling Bank. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lance. Thank you.
Good. So that was a long weekend for you two. You survived the home show also?
I did. Yeah, we had a good time. Talked to a lot of people and... yeah, had a good time.
Okay, fantastic. And back in the studio with us to talk a little bit about your investments and what to do with the rest of your money, we have with us Garrick Russell. Garrick, how are you?
Good, Lance. Thanks for having me.
So you've been continuing on this wild ride.
You know, it's been a good couple of weeks and getting a lot of calls into the office and just trying to keep everybody's expectations in check because we've had a good run.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear about that when we talk a little bit more about what that market's doing in comparison to real estate. So we always like to have our crazy national story. Real estate that boggles the mind. This one comes out of Zillow.com, and who knew, but Tommy Lee Jones apparently is a polo aficionado. And so he has put his polo facility on the market in South Florida for a whopping $26 million.
We'll just have him call Ralph Lauren.
Yes. Regulation polo field, stables, 11,000 square foot house. It's a 50-acre ranch is what they're calling it, and the place is incredible. I mean, it looks like there's not one blade of grass out of place on that polo field. He actually bought it in 2002, two separate parcels for $5 million roughly, and then combined it to make this polo facility. But, you know, it's a rough life because it seems like it said in the article he's having more time at his Texas facility. So we'll just get rid of the Florida facility.
He's very good, doesn't he?
He must have. Apparently that supporting role in the movie Lincoln was doing just fine for him.
Oh, and all those Ameritrade commercials.
Yes, yeah, the Ameritrade commercials. On a local front, we always like to give a local news. This one's a little different take than I normally do as far as local real estate news, but I feel it is very much local real estate news. And that is, I wanted to remind the listeners that Monday night at 6 p.m., so 2 days coming up, Monday night at 6 p.m., they open registration for the Hanford Tours.
Oh,
and this
yeah.
is a once-a-year deal. You go online, you go to hanford.gov/public tours. And if you just do a Google search for Hanford Tours, you'll get to that website. I did this 2 years ago. It now includes a stop at the B Reactor.
Ooh.
I really feel like it's kind of the history of, you know, how the towns got started here, what they did, and building to what happened, how quickly they moved in. It gives the history of all the way back to the government housing, why Richland got so big when it did. And then it's just a great perspective on a huge portion. Everybody, when they come here and does not know about Hanford, they always ask, where are all these people coming from and where are they working? Well, it makes sense when you take that tour, sign up for that tour. They only have about 1,700 spots available. Mm-hmm. The tours will be April, May, and June. If you've never done it, you know, I'm sure the folks listening to work out at Hanford every day are like, I see it every day, no big deal. But if you've never done it and have never gone out there, I highly recommend. Normally, those tickets go in about 5 hours. So you want to set an alarm Monday at 6 to jump online and reserve your spot because I got a lot out of it.
What website do they go to, Lance?
They go to www.hanford, and then it's .gov/public tours. Get them right over there to it, and it's a great time. We really, really enjoyed it.
That's interesting because my dad worked on the N Reactor many years ago, and he used to tell me, well, I can tell you what I do, but then we'd have to get rid of you. He was joking, of course.
Right, but the stories were interesting that many of the construction workers, while they were building it, had no idea what they were building. They knew what their job was, what their specifications were.
Only about 1% of the people actually knew.
And they did not know what they were building. And the fact that they basically built, I forget the exact time frame, I'm not an expert in this history, but forgive me if I get it wrong.
About 2 years?
About, I was going to say 18 months. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you could permit and build a restroom in 18 months now on the, you know, on the Hamburg side. So it's really amazing what they were able to do. So this week, this topic, what I wanted to talk about this week, we're taking, as always, we try as much as possible to take real life examples from what's been happening in the market the last couple of weeks, bring those topics to the show and update people what's actually happening in the real estate market. One of the things we get a lot of questions about and we've been dealing with the last 2 weeks is, what do you do with multiple offers? Because what happens is last week we talked about power listing. We talked about getting the price correct, getting the marketing correct, getting the condition correct. Well, when you do all of that, you likely many times end up in multiple offers. Now, we haven't seen it in a while, but it seems like, I don't know if this is just a trend or we've had some great listings priced very well in some areas. But three times in the last 2 weeks, I've found ourselves in multiple offer situations. And I'll tell you that the price point it happened on every one of them was from 135 to 165. And we went into multiple offer situations, which is fantastic for the sellers. The sellers love multiple offer situations. It gives you a lot of options. But the question is, what do you do once you get them? You know, what's the best course of action? So we're just going to talk about some of those options and what you can do as a seller. Because you're trying to maximize your dollar amount as a seller and not drive the buyers away. So the first thing that I wrote down, and one strategy a lot of banks, a lot of lenders that sell foreclosure and real property use this strategy. And what happens when they get multiple offers is they have what's called a highest and best time period. So you've gotten multiple offers during the day. You got one in the morning. A couple hours later, before you could present it, you got another offer. Once you do have multiple offers, you are, by our realtor code of ethics, you are required to disclose to the other agents that another offer does exist on the property. But what you can do is then you can go back to both offers and say, at the time, neither of you knew there was another offer on the property. We would like to give you guys until tomorrow night at 8 p.m. to submit back to us your highest and best offer. And so what that does is that creates an environment where those buyers are now trying to guess, how high do you go? You know. Now, there is, with all of these strategies we're going to talk about today, there are some risks involved with that, and it's not a for sure thing. One of the options, and that's why we're going to talk about other options that come up. Generally, though, most times in this situation, what will happen is both offers then will either leave their offer the same. They'll say, no, we've submitted our best foot forward. Or likely one of the offers generally many times will amend their offer by $1,000 or $2,000. Say they had lowballed the offer by $5,000 when there wasn't another offer on the table, they might now go back to full price, knowing. Or all parties might just leave their offer the same. What has happened before, and I've seen it happen before, is when you give that option, I've seen both offers go away.
I was just going to say, because they might, you know, these two people aren't talking to each other, but they might be thinking, oh, this guy's got another offer, and now he's going to try to play us and get us to bid against each other like an auction. Do I hear 50 over here, 50? Do I hear 100 over here? It's just like an auction.
You're exactly right. Now,
so some people might just say, forget it.
So in that case, when you do that option, not the best scenario, but not the end of the world, is that one of the offers just goes away because they're not going to play that game. The worst case scenario in that option is both offers go away, and then you're sitting there wondering what just happened. and so you really kind of have to take a look at the offers, what's going on there, and then what we'll do is we'll present kind of an alternative to that. option number two, and we'll talk a little bit more about this after the break and stuff and after we talk to Garrett. But option number two is you can look at both offers and present both offers at the same time. And then based upon that review, you might decide that only one of those offers is worthy of a counteroffer. There might be terms you look at. One might have low earnest money. One might be a cash offer with no appraisal to worry about. One might be just that much better on price that you don't even want to consider the other offer. So in that scenario, it might be a little bit safer with a little bit less risk depending upon, you know, what your needs are, is that you might take the best of those two offers and just counter that offer. So that's another option, but it also has its own set of pitfalls that we'll talk about after we come back after the break. Now we wanted to bring in, we talk a lot about money, down payments, houses. Once a month, we always like to get Garrick in here and talk a little bit about what are the other markets doing. I keep hearing these headlines that we're setting records. What are you doing over there?
Yeah, you know, the market's been getting pretty comfortable lately, and I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but it's nice to see people's confidence in the market going up a bit.
Okay, fantastic.
So, you know, today I think I'm going to talk about, though, I was a little alarmed earlier in the week. I saw a story come out that credit card balances are up and savings are down, and we haven't seen that in probably 3 or 4 years, and I was a bit concerned. So,
well, that alarms me on the housing side.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get people pre-approved.
And I thought what I would talk about is this time of year, a lot of people are getting their tax returns back. And so with that, let's call it a windfall of money, because for a lot of people that tax return is, I thought I would give you a couple ideas of what to do with that tax return.
Okay.
So my first thought is I really don't want somebody to waste the tax return. I realize that there's never anything that's wasted, but I have some better ideas, such as, what about paying down some debt? What if you have a credit card? I realize 18% is a high interest rate. Maybe it's only 10, but if you do pay down that rate, you're almost instantly making an 18% risk-free, tax-free investment, and there aren't very many investments that are even offering a return like that. So that was my first thought, and it addresses the problem that we saw earlier in the week.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense, because we've talked about on the show, Tom has talked about on the show before, about credit scores, you really needing to be below 30% of your allowable balance.
Yeah, keeping that balance low on the credit card in relation to limit is really going to shoot those scores up. So maybe it's going to allow them to qualify for a better home or a better product and get them preferable pricing as well.
So great idea by our financial advisor, endorsed by our lender.
There we go. So here's one for Lance a little bit. I think Lance will like this one. What about creating another tax break by making energy efficient improvements to your home? Or what if you donate to a charity? You can kind of get double duty off of that way.
Right.
So that's another idea. A third one is we always talk about investing, and obviously that's what I do, so I'm going to throw that in there kind of last. A lot of people don't realize this, but limits finally went up on IRAs. It's been $5,000 for a couple years, and for 2013, it's $5,500. If you're over 50, you can add an additional $1,000. So for the first time in, I think it's been 3 or 4 years that it's been stuck at that $5,000.
Okay.
We can get, not only that, but with that tax return, you have until April 15th to fund 2012, which is still that $5,000 limit. But what a way, if you don't have that credit card debt and you still have that tax return, what a great way to put a little bit of money aside and kind of catch up on your retirement goals.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Those are great ideas on what to do with that money. Yeah, fantastic.
Good. So that's what I had on that kind of category. And other than that, you know, the market has been doing well. It's interesting to see. You know, we've got so many outside forces affecting the market, and there's so many positive ones right now. And the market is up, and it's been climbing. We're almost again at a five-year high. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. So what I would tell everybody is, now is more important than ever. Even if you do investments on your own, maybe look at your portfolios and really look through them with a fine eye right now. I really want you to look through those, because it would be a really good time to do some rebalancing. And people don't do rebalancing enough. And there are some sectors that are up. There's some sectors that are down. With the market getting close to a 5-10-year high, might be a good time to start thinking about that.
So for somebody with a simple mind like me, and you've explained this to me better than anybody else, so rebalancing is when, you know, say you started this a year or two, you know, and you wanted to put 30% healthcare, 30% technology, 30% industrial, or whatever your your ratios are. What could have happened is what you're saying is maybe healthcare's gone up 60% and now your ratios are out of whack.
Yeah, it's a real common mistake that a lot of investors make. A lot of investors take the product that's done the best and they almost rebalance wrong. They put more money in the product that's done best. What I had challenged my clients to do is I want you to go back to your initial goals.
Right.
And if back then you had 20% in healthcare, well, if healthcare is 30% now, that doesn't mean I want more in healthcare. That's setting,
right.
Unfortunately, that sometimes is setting you up for failure. What I want you to do is take some of that healthcare off, figure out where we're missing some of that, where did that 10% come from, and rebalance into something that's maybe not performing as well.
Gotcha. Well, that makes a lot of sense, but at first, I know you had to walk me through it a couple times, so I had to see it a couple times. I definitely suggest, where can people get a hold of you?
They can call me. My number at the office is 509-735-3000. I'm right over there on Clearwater. And you know what? People can call us. They can stop by, whatever they want to do. We're at 7103 West Clearwater.
Sounds great, Garrick. Thanks for coming in and helping our listeners with that. We have come up against a hard break, so when we come back, we're going to hear from Tom Coyne with a little bit more about how the home show went and what we need to know about getting approved to buy homes.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. The spring market's been heating up out there. We've been talking a little bit today about what to do in multiple offer situations. One of those things that I can tell you to do is if you're going to present an offer as a buyer and you're in multiple offers, if you don't have a pre-approval letter with your offer, we're probably not going to look at it when we have other offers to do. So we'll turn it over to Tom, and he can tell us a little bit about what's going on in his world.
Hey, thanks, Lance. Hey, I want to start off by thanking one of our listeners. Last weekend, I mentioned that I was going to be out at the home show, and the first person to come up to me at the home show mentioned they heard me on the radio. They were going to get a prize. Well, I want to congratulate Joyce Cowgill.
Yes.
She was the lucky listener to win a gift card to Fairchild Cinemas. So thanks for tuning in, Joyce.
That's awesome. We appreciate that.
There
that's great. It pays to listen, they say.
Absolutely. So she came kind of late.
Free, it's me.
She came about 2 o'clock and kind of figured someone had already mentioned it, but she won, so it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Okay, so Lance was talking about a situation where there's multiple offers on a home and the challenges that both buyers and sellers face in that situation. When a buyer is dealing with a multiple offer transaction, they might have having to spend more than they had anticipated, like Lance said, if they want to increase their offer. And when this happens, it's really important to have a clear understanding of the loan approval and how a change in the sales price affects the loan. So we've talked about this before, but I can't stress it enough. It's very important to get pre-approved before they ever start shopping for a home. Like Lance said just now, likely the approval won't even get, or the offer won't even get looked at if there's not a pre-approval letter in with the offer. So after someone applies for a loan on my website, and that's just TomCoyneHomeLoans.com, I always set up an appointment to have them come in and actually talk about the approval. We discuss the loan in detail. One of the things we cover is what happens to a payment if the sales price or the loan amount changes, like in a situation where they're paying a little bit more than they had anticipated with their initial offer. So on average, a payment is going to change roughly $60 a month for every $10,000 change in loan amount. So that's a rough estimate, and don't hold me to it. And let's talk about your situation. We'll get it exact. But you can kind of use that as a rough estimate of what to expect in the change in payment.
That's great. So, yeah, that's a great, you know, guide to go by. Okay, we had to increase our bid by $10,000. It's going to be $60 a month more.
Yep, exactly. It's going to be darn close to that. So by knowing what the change in payment will do to the sales price, you're going to know in advance if they'll be prepared and ready to make a client will be prepared to make an educated decision in a sort of a multiple offer situation. So when you're dealing with finances and something as significant as a mortgage, it's really important to take out the guesswork. You don't want to be guessing what's going to happen. Call me. Let's talk about exactly what the payment's going to change to. Maybe it affects how much of a down payment someone's going to need to bring in. We can go over all the details. So, again, feel free to call me at 430-1305. We'll go over your loan options, look at getting you pre-approved, and know exactly what to expect for any situation you come in when you write an offer.
And I tell you what, we've had great feedback from clients the last couple of weeks, I have to say, where we've sent them over to you, given them your website, And they love being able to, you know, in the evening when you're not there, you know, at work, at the office, they'll sit down. They've collected all their information. They fill out their loan application, get everything done that evening after I've met with them. And then you're ready to go when you get in.
Yeah, Lance, I'm not going to lie about it. I don't like staying until 7 o'clock at night. And that's when a lot of people can come in. So by applying online, they can do it at their own free time. And by me having all that information ahead of time before they ever come in, it makes that hour and a half appointment 20 minutes. And
yeah,
so maybe they can sneak in on a lunch break, or I'll stay late at one day to have them come in. It just makes it easier on all parties.
Well, we've had great feedback from clients in the last couple of weeks, so I appreciate you doing that for sure.
Great to hear.
So before, what always happens is I run out of time with our topic. I totally will with multiple offers too. So I'm going to fit the properties in before I get to the rest of the multiple offers, especially from a buyer's perspective. Like we talked about, spring inventory, crazy great listings coming on the market right now. That's why we've had these multiple offer situations. Three brand new listings in that same position. Great. Listing number one, my pick number one this week is 2182 Newcomer. This is over in North Richland, right off of the Saint. This is a four-bedroom, two-bath Rambler, almost 1,400 square feet. It's got the hardwood floors completely redone. They've redone all of the ceilings and put in the recessed cam lighting, so it has a modern look. It's got a two-car garage. The kitchen's been updated, and this thing is priced at $160,000. It's probably the nicest, I'll call it a starter home in that square footage range, but one of the nicest done 1,400 square feet that I've seen in North Richland in a long time. So that's another one we expect to go very quickly. Pick number two is 4711 Atlanta Lane. This is over in Pasco. And this is just right off of Burden in Pasco, Road 68 Burden. This house is almost 1,720 square feet, just a little bit over. Three bedroom, two bath, huge corner lot. So it's a quarter acre lot, huge backyard. And they're including, this house was built in 2008, fairly new house. They're including the hot tub. I checked on the new construction prices. Right now, you can't rebuild this model for this price. It's priced at $175,000.
Mm.
So that is a fantastic opportunity in Pasco. Pick number three, we're going to West Richland up there behind Yokes off of Bombing Range and Paradise. We have a beautiful Rambler up there, 1,832 square feet, three bedroom, two bath, hardwood floors, super, super clean. This house has two covered patios, so fantastic amount of outdoor living space, and three-car garage, very well kept, also oversized quarter-acre lot, and this is priced at $210,000. So brand new inventory. I really expect a ton of showings on those properties this weekend. A lot of things happening in the spring market. One of those things that we've been seeing happen is multiple offers. We've talked about what you can do. Where we left off is we talked about choosing one or two of the offers to counteroffer. There's a couple things you can do. When you look at both of those offers, the first thing a seller could do is they could counteroffer the first offer with a short response time period before telling the other offer to go away. You could counteroffer the first offer with a short response, like, we need to know in 4 hours. You've just received a counteroffer. We need to know in 4 hours. If that did not go through, then you could move to offer number two. Or you could just flat out reject offer number two and only work with offer number one. But if that doesn't go together, once again, you're back to zero offer. So there is some risk there also that you have to look at. Now, I have seen, this question comes up sometimes, and I have seen in other states, and I have seen agents do this, I would not recommend this strategy, but people always ask, can you counter both offers at the same time? Dangerous, dangerous practice.
Calling a bluff.
Generally, I've read a lot about the responses to these. The problem is that when you do that, there is legally the possibility that both counteroffers could be accepted at the exact same time and then returned to you at the exact same time before you had a chance to withdraw the other counteroffer. At that point, you would then be obligated to two parties. And, you know, I'm not an attorney, so I can't give legal advice, but tells me that that situation is not going to go very well. So generally, now in other states, I've seen contracts with some language that are written up where you can counteroffer both offers at the same time, but they have language in there that requires the seller's signature one more time. So in effect, the seller has to approve and sign receipt of the counteroffer. That way, the first one back to them, once they've signed that, then it officially becomes under contract. So a couple different things there. Now, buyers, don't want you to miss out. We know that there's issues that come up with the buyers. The buyers are asking now, what about us? What about our side when we really want this house? One of the things you can do, I wrote down a couple things that buyers can do. Number one, have your pre-approval letter and your amount ready to go. Very specific. Have language in there that they've already reviewed your income and assets. There's different language in different letters. Some letters say, we are pre-approved once we review your income and assets. Well, if we see that versus one that says everything's already been reviewed, we're going to put a lot more weight in the one that's already been reviewed. I also wrote down what you can do is called the escalation clause. And if a buyer really wants a property or it's within a couple $1,000s of what they want and they don't want to lose it, you can add to your offer what's called an escalation clause. And what that offer says is we will beat the next best offer by X amount. So you can actually write in there, we will pay $500 over the next best offer. What that allows the agent to do is, and you put in your minimum that you're willing to offer. So say, let's just say we're dealing with a $100,000 house. You offer $100,000, but you put an escalation clause in there that says, I'm offering $100,000 and or $500 over the next best offer. If the next best offer was $97,000, you're just obligated to your $100,000. If both offers were full price at $100,000, that gives the seller permission to raise your offer to $100,500. Now, it also allows you to cap the amount of your raises. So you can say, you know, up to $104,000, because technically the other offer could have an escalation clause also. So then you're escalating both offers. What you do, and we've done this before, I've been in this story before, you escalate to the cap. And whoever has the higher cap in that situation is going to walk away with a signed contract. So the escalation clause is huge. I also tell buyers, you can write a letter. If you have special circumstances, you're in love with the house, it's just like the house you grew up in, I mean, you can really kind of add some emotion in there and hopefully weigh on the heartstrings of a seller a little bit. And I've also presented those. And, you know, and so I've sat with and I've encouraged buyers to do that. And so we've been on both sides of the fence there. And those letters do get read and they do make a difference sometimes. Third thing I wrote down is in a really tight, tight situation, we've seen people do it before. I don't suggest it, but a client would have to tell you, yes, we would be willing to do this or not be willing to do this. You could waive an inspection. And sometimes waiving an inspection will make a big difference to a seller because they know they've got a deal regardless of what's going on. So a lot of different options there for buyers and sellers. It gets complicated. It gets crazy. We've been through it numerous times. We've been through it three in the last week and a half. So it's happening again in our market. We have the strategies to deal with this and hopefully get you guys the best possible outcome on both sides of the scenario. Feel free to visit us at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I'd like our guests to give their contact information. If you're looking for any type of lending, mortgage, financing, Tom, how do they get a hold of you?
You can call Tom over at Sterling Bank Home Loans at 430-1305 or visit me on my website at tomcoinhomeloans.com.
Perfect. And then on the financial planning side, I've worked with Garrick for years. And Garrick, how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, give us a call at 735-3000. And or they could always stop by, 7103 West Clearwater.
Perfect. And if you missed any of that, you can always shoot me a message at kenmoreteam.com. We're right back here next week to talk more about this crazy spring market.
News Talking 7.